should just be cool.
I keep going, I'll figure it out.
All right, well, I will talk to these guys here. Hey, real quick, I know, like, none of you know me, okay? Except for one person really knows me, okay? Some of you do, a couple of you do, but many of you know my son, JT, he's in the back. Everyone say, hi, JT!
Hi, JT!
JT is my oldest. I got 5 kids, and he's the oldest boy. There's 4 boys in a row. We do have a little sister, a little girl, and she is 7 years old. And so right now, they're all back in the Seattle area. That's where my family is. But we're actually from South Carolina. How many of you have ever been to South Carolina? Okay, all right. Some of you have been to South Carolina. Yeah, maybe. So North Carolina is above us in South Carolina. Well, my name is Mr. Jeremy, or you can call me Pastor Jeremy. Okay, so here's what I want to do real quick. Let's see. I'm going to say, good evening, boys and girls. Okay, and you're going to yell back to me, good evening, Pastor Jeremy. Okay, and I want you to do it so loud that the kitchen people and the people over there are going to, like, freak out. Okay, so we might even steer like the Grizzlies or something like that. Yeah, right, we'll know. So you'll say, good evening, Pastor Jeremy. Like I said, and you keep saying it until I do this. Once I go like this, I mean, stop, okay? It's like if you were to chop up, like, a head off of a snake, you know, like, well, obviously that's going to happen. So that's what I'm saying. So we're like, so you're kind of like this. I'll say, good evening, boys and girls. And you go, good evening, Pastor Jeremy. Got it? That's super easy, okay? All right, super easy. All right, let's practice. Let's see if we can see how loud you are. You ready? Good evening, boys and girls. Whoa, give yourself a round of applause. All right, now also a couple things just so you know. I love to speak to junior age, okay, which is your age. To me, it's one of my favorites, okay, which is super fun, okay. And so this is exciting for me to be with you guys. But I have a couple rules, okay. There's got to be some rules to remember, okay. First of all, let me give you these rules so you can remember them all during the week, okay? Rule number one is this. When I'm talking,
you don't talk,
okay? So you just got to remember that. So I want you to practice saying that with me, okay? So this will be pretty easy. You're going to ready? So you can do the most with me like this. Okay, ready? When I'm talking, you don't talk. Wait a second here. Did you just tell me that's not? Okay, so let's back to the beginning. Ready? When I'm talking, you don't talk. And you know what I'm saying? And then I would say rule number two is sit up straight. Because I know if you don't sit up straight, and you kind of like start to, you know, kind of sit here. All of a sudden you fall over and you're like sleeping, maybe even during a certain, you know, on the ground, you know, like, you know, wake him up or something like that. So we don't want that to happen. So when I'm talking, you'll talk. Number two, sit up straight. Number three is this, don't touch your neighbor. Now, I'm telling you, I know the temptation is there. You just want someone, who's your neighbor, whoever's sitting near you, anywhere around you, you know this. You want to. That's the normal thing. You know, girls are like, oh, I like your hair. And play people, you know, like this. And the guys are like, But those are the three rules. And so you got to remember that. Don't touch them. I mean, even if they've got, like, a big booger hanging on their nose, do not pick it. Okay, you are not allowed. Okay, that is illegal. You cannot do that. Okay, so just remember those three rules. Now, I'm watching because sometimes what I like to do, too, sometimes I might even give a special prize at the end. Sometimes I do that, and so I kind of, you'll know, but I'm watching. And so you got to remember through the whole time of talking that you sit up straight, you don't touch your neighbor, and remember when I'm talking that you don't talk. Okay, so I think you can remember that, okay? So that's it. Now, I will tell you this, too. I love to have fun, okay? I love to laugh, and there are times where sometimes, even in a message, sometimes there's times where I get laughing, or maybe make you laugh, or something like this. And so even during a message, or maybe at any other time, I want to be able to get your attention. So if I'm going to do that, the easiest way for me to do this is I start counting down from three. I go 3, 2, 1. Okay. Now, once I start counting down, you count down with me. Okay. So we would do it like this. We go 3, 2, 1. And then the last thing is like this. We go zip. Now, if you really did zip your mouth in one sense, you can't really talk. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can make some noises, but you can't talk. So that's the idea, okay? So sometimes we get going and we're laughing or whatever, and then all of a sudden, when you hear me start counting down, 3. And once I do that, you count down with me, okay? Well, you need to stick your fingers up. Ready?
3, 2, 1, 6.
Now, what I would do is like this. I'd be like, oh, since I heard voices over here. Usually, I don't know if there's teams sitting on different sides of it. So I'm like, oh, there's some moments over here. We'll give this group an added 100 points. Or something like that. You know, I might even bonus the other group. So you don't want to be the last. You don't want to be like, you know, 3, 2, 1, zap. You know, I guess, because then it's like, oh, for one thing, you're trying to be selfish. And that's really bad. So the other thing is that you go, whoa, great, we'll give these guys points over here. You know, then your team afterwards beats you up outside of the chapel. You know, they're like, don't you do that? Okay, so make sure that you can do a good job. Now let's practice that. So remember, once I start counting down 3, 2, 1, zip, we can practice that together. But here's the way we're going to practice it. Tonight, if your person sitting near you or beside you, I want you to tell them, say, thank you for coming to chapel tonight or good service tonight. So go ahead and talk to them. Tell them, thank you.
3, 2, 1, zip.
But here we go, ready? Let's do another one. Why don't you tell them, to the person sitting beside you, say, hey, you sure look good tonight. Tell them.
3, 2, 1, zip!
Good job. I'm going to bonus the side one over here because there's a little bit better than the side over here. Okay, so good job, you guys. And so just remember that. Anytime I can even do that during a message, you might need to, maybe we're playing a game. You know, and some of them are like, and they're trying to get your attention, and they're like, you know, listen, and you're not listening. And maybe I'm standing over there, so I might walk over and go, 3, 2, 1, zip! And all of a sudden, you go, there you go, you know what I'm saying? So that's pretty cool. So that's really easy to remember. Now, also, let me tell you something else special, okay? I grew up in South Carolina, and then my dad was a Taekwondo instructor. He actually was an instructor in martial arts. Not to be confused with marshmallow arts, okay? That's totally something way different, okay? You play marshmallows and but martial arts, some of you may have even taken some martial arts. Maybe you've even taken some taekwondo, I don't know. How many of you in this room have ever taken a martial art? Would you raise your hand? You take a martial art? That's pretty cool. How many of you have ever taken maybe even some taekwondo? Would you raise your hand? You've taken some taekwondo, okay? So just check it out, okay? So maybe a couple. So I want to do this, is this week, I'm going to use that as a theme to a little bit, okay? So at night, I'll do some things, I won't dress up at night, but in the morning time, for the morning chapel, I'm going to actually wear my Taekwondo outfit, okay? I'm not going to look like, you know, I'm coming from that the medieval time, but I'm going to look like, you know, karate guy. Or maybe some of you might be like, does he wear his pajamas? You know, maybe you might even think that, okay? But I'll do that, and then maybe, just maybe, if you guys do a really good job, maybe this week I might even try to break some things. I don't mean break people. I won't put any of you up here and chop you in half, okay, unless you do it. But what I'll probably do is maybe we'll try breaking some, I don't know, some boards. Maybe we'll even try to light them on fire and break them. Maybe we'll even try to break bricks. Maybe we'll even have some bricks broken on me, okay? I don't even know. We'll just see. How many of you think that might be kind of cool to watch? Okay? I'm going to bonus this side over here again. It's another 200 points. Okay, so that's kind of nice. Okay, I'm watching that real closely. So anyway, so this week, to kind of help you know that, and kind of to do that in the mornings, I'll do a little bit of a demonstration kind of in the mornings, okay? We'll kind of make it that way. I'll have a message in the morning as well. And so looking forward to that. And at night, I want to teach you a special thing. And actually tonight, it's this one. It's God gives me strength to fight the devil. Now, The way it's going to work is this, is I've got motions and things that we'll do, and then even at times I might even bring people up here in this, so it's kind of a fun thing to do each night before we kind of go right into the Word of God. But this one's kind of fun. So what I'd like you to do is put all your Bible, notebook, pen, those things in your chair, and then stand to your feet. Can you do that real quick? Stand to your feet. Let's practice this together. Here's the way it's going to work. It's going to be pretty fun like this. We're going to say this. God gives me strength to fight the devil. Okay, so the way it's going to work, again, you're going to be going this, and then you're doing the muscles, and then you're going to go, when you're punching, it's going to be a jab, a reverse punch, and an uppercut. So it's almost really three different kinds, but it goes boom, boom, boom. Okay, so here we go. Let's practice. Ready?
God gives me strength to fight the devil.
Not bad. Let's try it again. Ready?
God gives me strength to fight the devil.
Now we're going to try different teams. Here we go. Ready? This team first. Ready?
God gives me strength to fight the devil.
How bad now on this side? Ready?
God gives me strength to fight the devil.
One more time, all together. Ready?
God gives me strength to fight the devil.
Okay. Not bad. You may be seeing it. Okay. Now, I'm going to be watching again this whole time, and we'll see if we get out something. But I do want you to remember three things every time you come to a service or a chapel. The first thing would be this. Make sure you, number one, bring your Bible. Okay, bring a Bible. How many of you have a Bible in here right now? You can hold up what the Bible says. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, is there anyone, if you don't have a Bible, yeah, like let's say you said, Mr. Jeremy, I said, Jeremy, I didn't bring a Bible. Okay. Okay, so ask your counselor, and counselors will get to the right person to make sure you have a Bible that you can use all week long. Okay, so we'll do that. That's kind of a special thing. Always make sure you bring your Bible, okay? Because we're going to look at that. Then the next thing would be this, is always have something to write with, like a pen or a pencil. If you've got something to write with, would you raise that up? Kind of like that. I don't see it. And then the next thing would be this, to have something to write on, like a notebook of some sort. And you can kind of hold that up. Let me see that. Okay, so sweet. So you got that. If you got those three things, then you are actually ready for the chapel and for the service. If you're missing those things, you're not quite ready, okay? Because I want to give you something that you can record, that you can actually take home later, that can help you in your spiritual life. If there's no way of writing it down, then you're like, can I remember that? And probably not that long later. And so we'll do our best to try to help you. Now, I'll also help you this way. When you take notes, some of you have never taken notes in your life, you know what I mean? And so I got to teach you. So here we go. When you take notes, don't try to write down everything I say. Could you imagine?
Could you imagine?
Everything he says. That's too hard. Your page will catch on fire. Your pencil, a pen, you know, that might catch on fire. We don't want you to have it. Right? So, how do you take notes? Well, what I'll do is I'll either state something really, like I might say, hey, here's the message tonight. It's called this. You know, I might say that. And if I do that, then you can write the name of the message, you know. Or I could say, you know, point number one. Usually the main points you want to write down. You don't have to write down everything, but there may be something even in the message that actually God starts working your heart up about. You want to write that down. But I say make it simple. And I usually will put up the things I want you to write down up here so you can kind of see that. All right, so kind of make it easy. We might even do a review competition. I don't know. We'll just kind of see how, as we kind of work and roll on, we'll see what we do. That's going to be kind of special. But I'm really looking forward to tonight. Now, tonight as we do this, let's take our Bibles. And so grab your Bible. And let's go to a New Testament passage. I'll help you find it there. It's found in 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Can you do that? Go to 1 Peter. Now, that might be a hard one to find because it is a little book, okay? So one way that you might want to find it, you can find the very last book of the Bible, which is Revelation. And you can go just before that. You have Jude and three different books called John. And then right before that is the book of 1 and 2 Peter. So turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, and I want to read to you a verse. It's verse 8. Listen what it has to say. God tells us in His Word in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Really, tonight's message is a message entitled, Your Greatest Enemy. Your greatest enemy. Let me pray, and then we'll get going tonight. Lord, thank you so much for these boys and girls and the workers here as well, that you would just work in our hearts. God, we would ask that this week would be a very special week for each one here. That you would work in them in a real way, that they would learn to enjoy you and the gifts that you give each day. And I pray even tonight that we would be able to have a better understanding of what's really even happening in our own world and all around us, that we would look to you and that God, you would speak to our hearts. I pray that every night and every message will point to you, will help us grow in our spiritual lives. Lord, some that is written cannot grow spiritually because they have never been born from God. They have never been truly saved. But there are others in this room who have been saved. And I ask God that wherever they are spiritually, that you would help us to take that next step. And God, we thank you for what you're going to do. I ask God for power and strength. Lord, I know that I cannot change a heart. I can't save a life. But I do know that you can and that you use even preaching to bring people to repentance. So God, I would ask, would you use me even tonight? Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look this direction, I want to give you a kind of a date up here that I'm going to throw up on the screen. As this date, it's September 11th, 2001. And you say, Pastor Jeremy, I wasn't even born yet. Okay, well, I understand that. But I think some of you might know what this date actually means, okay? We also call it another name, 9/11. And does anyone remember what happened? Yes, sir.
It was when the two towers, I think, got crushed by the airplanes that came from the Middle East.
Yes, well, sort of. Let me go ahead and explain this to you. Actually, it's interesting. In September 11, 2001, I actually remember, because I was alive during that time, okay, and saw this, but actually there were four different airplanes that took off from four different locations with people called hijackers that got onto these planes, okay? They acted like they were just kind of normal citizens or normal people to get on the plane, but their whole point was a hijacker is someone who wants to take over the plane. And the truth is they had prepared for this. They had planned for this. And these guys were on a suicide mission. You say, what's that mean? That means they were going to try to take over the plane and crash the plane. Now, that means they're in and on the plane. That means they're going to kill themselves in the process. Everyone on the plane is going to die, too. And wherever they crash it, it could be like a big bomb. They're going to, like, use that to kind of destroy whatever. And this is like, whoa. And so they had this planned out. And so that morning on September 11, 2001, these planes took off. 19 different hijackers on these planes. And they waited for the right moment. They begin to take over these planes. They begin to get into the cockpit. They begin to either kill the pilot or somehow get renewed that pilot and then begin to take over. So they obviously knew how to fly planes and stuff too. They had to train for that. But these people did this and they went on a suicide mission to devastate the United States of America. They wanted to take down our country. They want our country to feel pain and the pressures of all the things kind of coming down. And so this was their whole point. They hated the United States. They wanted everyone in the sense of the United States dead. But they can't do that with just four planes. But the truth is, they did some major damage. Actually, the first plane, as you think about this picture, as he had mentioned, who knows what city this is? Anyone raise your hand? Yes, ma'am. Not Paris. If you notice, actually, look at this little thing, okay? You see that thing right there? That's the Statue of Liberty. Okay, what city is it? New York City. Anyone ever in this room been to New York City? Okay, so some of you have been to New York City. Huge city. It's massive. And actually, with all these people, it wasn't the only city that they went after. But the truth is since these planes went off of these different locations, they went to really destroy things. And one of the things that happened was one of those planes, around 8 46 in the morning, crashed into the north tower, smashed into the one tower over here. Now you can see there's another plane coming at the next tower. Actually, it wasn't too long after that, within about 15 minutes, another one happens, smashes into the other tower. When that did, you had all this massive explosion. At first, people thought maybe the first plane was just an accident. Like, whoa, that guy really made a mistake and flew into this. But you can't just make that kind of mistake. And then another one happens, and people start to realize our country is really, in one sense, under attack. Somebody is doing something to our country. There were two other planes, actually, that went off. Actually, one of them went to a place called the Pentagon. Actually, it was a government building, a very strategic building in our own government, and it crashed into the side of the Pentagon. There was another plane that was headed towards the Capitol. We don't know exactly where it was headed, towards the Capitol building, or even probably maybe somebody even say the White House at the time. It just crashed that way. But these guys in the plane, they're flying low enough that they heard. They got cell phone reception because they started hearing all this stuff that was going on. And so one guy hears it, and he was a Christian. He was a guy who was a real Christian. And he hears that there's hijackers that are taking over these planes. And you know what he did? He realized that theirs had been taken over as well. And so he says to a friend, and it was kind of recorded on this, but he says to a friend or a person there in the plane, he said, like, basically, let's go get him. And he's two words. He said, let's roll. He's like, let's go after these guys. And sure enough, they did go after these guys. It seemed like they stopped them, but the plane ended up crashing. Instead of in like the White House and killing all these people or another big place, it crashed in a field in Pennsylvania, killing everyone on board as well. It was awful. When I think about this, actually, it was some months later where the whole destruction being so bad that they were trying to tunnel people and get people out and rescue people. And at one point, finally, the president of the United States at that time was a guy named George W. Bush. And he got up and he was viewing all the destruction. And he got up with a megaphone. And he basically said, we're going to go after whoever did this. And we're going to bring these people to justice. And so it was a big deal. You might could say this: America's enemy is maybe terrorists or terrorism. That's one of America's enemies. But can I just tell you this? Every last one of us have a real enemy, something that's far greater and far different than just a terrorist, okay? Because that's not a good thing to have a terrorist as your enemy. Now, some of you might even say, well, Pastor Jeremy, I got enemies. I mean, the guy that lives next door, you know, he's so mean. It's like he's a bully. He bullies me, he beats me up, you know, or maybe the girl next door, you know, whatever. I mean, you might think that, or in school, or you might think that way. And I'd say, maybe they are kind of mean to you, and maybe they do kind of feel like you're an enemy, but there's a far greater enemy. And actually, here's what I want you to see, really, this evening, is simply this. Number one, the devil is your greatest enemy. Now, when you look at the scriptures, even right here, I want to use the Bible to show you this, but actually, in this passage, 1 Peter 5:8, listen carefully. It says, be sober and be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, what does that mean? Your enemy, the devil, he walketh about as like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I mean, the Bible tells you he is a real enemy. Now, as we kind of look through this, too, I want you to see this. He is real. Actually, watch this. Take your Bible. And you can hold your spot there. Maybe you even have those little ribbon things you can kind of hold in there. Find the book of Ephesians. Can you find that book? It's another small little book in the New Testament. If you can find that book, I want you to find Ephesians chapter 6. See if you can find Ephesians chapter 6. And if you can't, then you can just kind of hold on tight there. But Ephesians chapter 6. Notice Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. And as the writer is finishing this book, he says this: finally, my brethren, so he's talking to all the Christians. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he says this: put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, or that means the deceits of the devil. And it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Whoa. It's talking about something far beyond what we see. Now, it says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, watch this. know what your flesh is? Grab your hand like this and kind of take your finger to pinch your arm. Okay? You feel, ow, don't pinch your arm. Okay? You feel that a little bit. That is your flesh. Underneath that is your blood. Okay, you probably got yourself before. I'm not going to show you my blood. That's your flesh and blood. What does it say? Your enemy is really not flesh and blood. It's really not another person who's mean to you, even though that might feel like your enemy. But there's something far greater and far deeper. But it's against principalities and powers, against the rulers of this darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness and like high places. It's like stuff that we can't see. But the Bible says the devil is real enemy. He is real. He's very real. Now the hard part is you don't see him. That makes it hard, doesn't it? I mean, but there's a lot of things that you probably don't see that you do believe in. I think about something called gravity. Do you see gravity?
No.
No. Do you believe in gravity?
Yes.
I would hope so. Yeah, because if you didn't, you might stand, you know, get up on the real tall building over there and like, hey, you know, I don't believe in gravity at all. And you're walking, and you walk off the building. And what would happen? You might say, I don't believe, I don't believe, I don't believe. But then what happens? You're all, oh,
wow. You know, yes.
Potential. Truth is, there's a lot of things that you don't see, but you do believe. And actually, what's interesting is that the Bible describes the devil as a real enemy. Now, wait a second, though. This devil guy, like Pastor Jeremy, maybe he even asks this, Pastor Jeremy, or maybe I'll ask you, who was the devil before he was the devil? In other words, the devil actually has a lot of different names, okay? Sometimes Satan, or, you know, an adversary, that, you know. But who, or where did the devil live before that we know is the devil? Does anyone even remember this? Okay, yes, sir. No. Heaven, yes. He lived in, the devil lived in heaven. But when he's in heaven, was he the devil?
No.
No. Okay, he wasn't the devil. Who was he?
An angel.
Yes, sir.
He was God's first angel.
Yeah, he was a high angel that guarded the glory, you could say, of God. You know, it's interesting. The Bible actually does talk about this. Watch this. Can you find this in your Bible? Watch this. Take your Bible. See if you can find the book of Isaiah. It's almost towards the middle of your Bible. I like having you guys look at your Bible if you can. Get used to kind of doing this. But Isaiah, and we'll look at Isaiah. Let's see Isaiah chapter 14. Look at Isaiah. See if you can find chapter 14, if you can find Isaiah. Chapter 14 is an amazing one because it's actually... the writer is talking about a king who's acting like the devil. And he kind of refers to him this way, but notice verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12. Here's what it says. It says, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? There's that name. Son of the morning. How are you cut down to the ground, who you who weakened the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit in the mount of the congregation on the furthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He's going to be just like God, if not greater than God. That's what he's saying. But then it says in verse 15, yet you will be brought down to Sheol or to the grave or to hell, the Bible would say, to the lowest depths of the pit. So here he was in a place of exaltation. And now so he's starting to think, it's about me. You know what? In his pride and arrogance, God cast him out of heaven. As he's cast out of heaven, he is now forever cursed. And the truth is that that's where we kind of get that name, the devil. And we see that even in Scripture. But when he fell from heaven, the next thing that we kind of see or know about is he seems to be found in a specific place near the very beginning of the Bible. Take your Bible now and go to Genesis. Watch this. Okay, find Genesis. Now that you can find. It's the first book of the Bible, okay? So find Genesis and look for chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, okay? Find that, Genesis chapter 3. And watch what the Bible says. Now remember, God made the world. He spoke it into existence. It talks about how he made this world. Actually, the Bible says in the very first chapter, the very first verse, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God made all this. Now, that's pretty easy to see, okay? Pretty easy to know. All you do is look around and go, whoa, like, how'd that happen? Can I tell you how it didn't happen? If you go to school sometimes, depending on your school, you might be taught that, you know, it'll happen. There was a big bang. And out pops the universe. Now, there's a problem with that, okay? It's called the Big Bang Theory. It's like theory of evolution. Now, you know, the Big Bang is funny to me. Because have you ever been at home and someone lit firecrackers or something like that too? Maybe you did do that. Well, if you ever like light a firecracker, some of you might even try to stick that firecracker underneath something, and maybe your older brother or your dad, somebody blew something up. You know, when you blow something up, it just causes all kinds of chaos. Pizzas go everywhere. You know, that would be like me. Going to like Home Depot, you know, that's the one. And I'd say, hey, can I blow up your store? And they go, sure, that'd be fun. Okay. And I said, what about next Thursday? They said, well, that sounds like it. Okay, so okay, next Thursday, we make sure no one's around, you know, everyone, no employees, okay, we put the bomb in the center. And we go, okay, we can way back away. And sure enough, you know, 3, 2, 1. We blow up Home Depot. Now, when you blow up Home Depot, if you blew up a place like that, what would happen? Would it be chaos? Would it be destruction? Of course. Do you know what the Big Bang teaches? And then all of a sudden comes a perfectly ordered universe. And you go, that's funny. That's like blowing up Home Depot. And all of a sudden, beats like whatever, and all of a sudden he goes, and out pops a perfectly built house with cabinets and plumbing and you know, a bathroom. It doesn't work that way. When you look at our world and you see the design, you go, whoa, there's a designer who did all this. And obviously we look at it and we say, God did all this. There's an intelligent designer named God. So God makes the world, and there's actually, when he makes it initially, there's no sin. He makes the first two people. So raise your hand, tell me who they were. You know who they were. Yes, ma'am?
Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve, okay. Adam and Eve, at first, never sinned. They were brilliant people. The smartest probably people to ever live. Now I know they were the only people to ever live at the time. Remember, Adam was super duper smart. Adam actually, he named all the animals. Would you do that? Okay, I mean, I'm saying that because it's like, oh, that's a elephant. That's a tiger. That's a duck-billed platypus. You know what I mean? Like, how would you name all that? That's a lot of names. You know what I mean? And things like all that. I mean, I have 5 kids. I can't remember their names sometimes. You know what I mean? So your parents can't remember your name. So they call you the dog name or something. You know, you're in trouble. And they can't remember because there's too many kids maybe. Something like that happens, okay? But here it is. Brilliantly, but then they're deceived. Genesis 3. Look at it closely. Genesis chapter 3. Watch this. In Genesis 3, we read this. Now the serpent was more cunning or subtle or tricky than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Hath God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" If a snake, if you saw a snake, do you guys have snakes up here ever? No snakes in Alaska? Where I'm from, there are snakes. Okay. Now, snakes are, how many of you like snakes? I like them too, but I don't want them in my room at night while I'm sleeping in my bed. You know what I'm saying? I don't want that. Okay. But you know what's interesting? This snake began to talk. Now, if you saw a snake, most of you would be like, ah! Yeah. But if you saw a snake and it started to speak to you, that would really freak me out. I'd be like, where's machete? I'd kill that snake, you know. But remember, Eve is not afraid because there's really no fear and there's no sin. So somehow this snake is communicating to her and says, did God really say these things? And you're watching how tricky he is. The devil is so tricky because as he's doing this in the form of a serpent, watch what it says. He asked that question, did God say you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? Well, then the woman, in verse 2, the woman, she said to the serpent, well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, nor ye shall not even touch it, lest you die. And then the serpent said this to the woman. He said, you will not surely die. I mean, come on. You believe that you're going to die? You're not going to die. Then he says this, for God knows that the day that you eat of your eyes actually will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, the truth is, there was some truth to this lie. The best lies have truth. Some of them. I mean, the truth is, if she was going to eat of the fruit, then she would be acting like a god. Because she was doing her own thing, and forget you, God. I know you said this, but I'm doing what I'm going to do. So she's almost acting like her own God. And actually, eating of the fruit, she would know good and evil, just like the Bible said. I mean, but the truth is, at this point, all she knew is good. She didn't know evil. And so now, you're going to be like God. Good. The Bible says she looks at that fruit. Look at this closely. It says this, that she actually looks at this. She's being tempted. In verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desired to make one wise, and she took of it, of the fruit, and she ate, and she also gave to her husband, who was with her, and he ate, and the eyes of both of them were open. Something happened. Now they knew they were like naked and exposed, and they began to try to cover themselves over leaves, and try to hide among the trees in the garden. Now the truth is think about this. Can you hide from a God who sees everything?
No.
Not at all. I mean, that's like an open room, you know? It'd be like this whole room, if we cleared everything out, and then all of a sudden, you know, like, we're gonna play hide and seek. Okay, here we go, and I count to 10, I say, ready or not, here I come, and I look, and I say, found you. You know it. You can't hide from a God who sees everything. But they hide, they cover themselves up with, and then God says, where are you? Now, why would he ask that if he knew everything? And the truth is, he did know everything. But boys and girls, he was saying, where are you? Because he was wanting these people to be honest and open with him. Because he was the only one who could rescue them. But you know, they were running and hiding from God. When you sin against God, the normal thing is you probably run. And you try to hide. You kind of feel bad. And this is what happens. And yet God in his love went after Adam and Eve. But think about this for a minute. How long has it been since Adam and Eve? All we know, at least thousands of years. For all of these years, can I tell you this? He's been deceiving people. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that somehow you're smarter?
No.
Okay, wait a second. If the devil can deceive the smartest man, woman, whoever lived, and he's been doing this for thousands and thousands of years, he's probably really good at this. Okay, you know? And the truth is, are you that smart? And the answer is no. No, he's way too smart for us. And so when you come to think about this, he's not just real, but I want you to consider this. He's also powerful. The power of an angel. Does anyone know the power of an angel? Well, we know this. One evening in the Old Testament, the Bible says this, that there was this king, and he was surrounded by this massive group of warriors getting ready to attack the kingdom. And he went that one night, and he began to pray, and just asked God, God, help, help. And God sent an angel. One angel over one evening killed 185,000 warriors. One angel. That's a lot. That's a lot. 185,000 warriors. One angel did it. Okay. We're no match for the devil. The devil's a fallen angel. So powerful. That's what's silly. There actually are silly songs. Maybe you've heard it growing up. At some point, you've heard the song. You know, if the devil doesn't like it, he gets sit on an attack. Sit on an attack. Actually, that's a stupid song. Think about it. Because, wait a second. Who are we to say that to the devil, who's so much more powerful than any one of us, because sit on attack? Are you kidding me? Because This is like a roaring lion who walks about seeking whom he may devour, and we treat it like that. Are you kidding me? So we look at this and say, well, he's real. He's powerful. And actually, he is deceitful. And that's what we just saw. He tricked all these people. Now, wait a second, though. There's something else you need to see. Number one, yes, the devil is your real enemy. Okay, I'm going kind of fast, sorry. Number two, the devil is actually a dangerous enemy. Now, I want you to see this. Take your Bible now and go back where we started, which was the book of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, the Bible describes him as a lion, okay? Now, a lion. How many of you have ever been to the zoo and you've seen a lion? Would you raise your hand, okay? When you saw the lion at the zoo, I'm curious, what was he doing when you saw him at the zoo? Someone raise your hand, tell me. What was he doing when you saw him?
I saw him. He was actually like, his food was actually something that he was trying to eat. It was already dead, but he thought it was alive.
Whoa. So you saw him awake. How many of you, when you saw the lion, he was probably just laying there sleeping or something like that? That's what they do a lot, actually. And so sometimes it's that way. But a lion at full-grown strength can be close to 500 pounds. I mean, that's like more than your counselor, just a little bit. And, you know what I mean, that's kind of crazy. 500 pounds? Do you know that a lion is not just that? Okay, oh, I got a picture. Okay, here's one. Okay, here's a picture of a lion. You'll see it super a little bit. They can weigh about 500 pounds. They can run about 50 miles per hour. The fastest human runs somewhere like around 25, maybe. So double the speed of the fastest human, that's what a lion can do. Actually, some of us know the fast runner, the world's fastest runner. Remember that guy's got the best time, like a 100-yard dash or whatever it is, 100 meters, something like that. And what's his name? Remember his name?
Yeah.
Do you know that it's amazing? He can run that 100-yard dash or whatever it is, something like that. And he runs it in 9 seconds, okay? Something like that. That's what it is. A lion can run the same thing in 3.5 seconds. Do you know what Usain Bolt would be when it comes to a lion in a race? Basically, he would be lunch. You know what I mean? The lion would just devour him and eat him for lunch. You couldn't outrun. And that's the fastest human runner. So we think about this. And the Bible describes this lion as a lion that actually walks about. When you think about even that last picture of walking about, what is he doing? He's actually stalking its prey. What is a prey? It means that what he wants to eat. He's actually... Have you ever seen how they do that? They're like super stealth. You know what I mean? Some of you might even have a little cat. You want to have a cat, okay? A cat, kittens are cute, but they grow up to be cats. You don't want them, okay? So anyway, some of you guys have cats. But cats, have you ever seen a cat that like goes after like something that's trying to, it's like so smooth, you know what I mean? Well, a lion does this. And a lion actually will do something else. He'll actually roar. Have you ever heard a lion roar? A lion roar, if you were outside and heard that, I'm telling you, it would freak you out. It's so loud. And some of you have even seen those, maybe it's like the Discovery Channel of some sort, you're watching, and it's like these deer-like creatures are like drinking water, you know, it's at night, and they have this night special vision kind of going on, so you can kind of see what's going on. Anyway, they're kind of drinking a little bit, and then all of a sudden, there's this lion, and it's like it's crouched and ready to go, but the deer creatures don't see, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, it roars, and the moment it roars, you watch these deer creatures, and their legs are shaking. I mean, and they're looking around, they don't know what to do, and it freaks them out. Now, you know what's interesting is taking martial arts. Actually, you can do the same thing. They teach you in martial arts that at times you yell. And it's not because, you're scared. Ah! You know, I guess you could do that, but that's not really what they teach you, okay? They actually teach you to actually use the yell to go and kind of make your opponent afraid. It's also to exude energy. Sometimes you're going, and you're trying real hard, okay? But the truth is there's times in tournaments, years ago, I remember being in tournaments and there being someone across from me, and sometimes as I'm getting ready to fight them, they get in these positions and I'm ready to go, and then sure enough, They might say something like in a Korean word, they say shishak, you know, which means begin. At that moment, they're kind of starting to, the guy's getting, you're kind of sizing the other person up, getting ready to go. And there are times where I've kind of acted kind of like I'm like not really thinking much about it. And then as I do that, I go, I'm like this, and I go, ah! And I start yelling, I start running at the guy really fast, like, you know, and I maybe throw some kicks or two, and sure enough, the guy's like, and when you're really scared, you do some really stupid things sometimes. You know what I mean? You can't picture it. You know? So some of you have been scared, and you're like, ah! Range like a wall. You know? Like, ah! And so really the truth is the devil is like this roaring. Now, he isn't a lion. It says he's like a roaring lion. Okay, so don't go to the zoo and be like, ah, mom, there's the devil. He's in the cage right there. That's the devil. No. The Bible's describing him like a roaring lion who walks about seeking whom he may devour. Now, some of you can't really see him quite, but actually there's a little bit of red here. It's not because the lion had some Kool-Aid. The lion is eating its prey. He caught what he's going to catch, and he's going to eat it. Now, isn't it interesting that the Bible does not say this? The devil's like a roaring lion who walks about seeking whom he may harm us. No, he seeks whom he may devour. Does the devil care for your soul? And the answer is absolutely not. He wants to destroy you. And when you think about this, it's kind of like, once it's kind of frightening, you might be like, Pastor Jeremy, you're like freaking me out, okay? Because like the devil, and you know, I came to camp to kind of like have fun, and I act like it out, kind of getting scared. And do I have to look around all the time? You know, is the devil, you know, around the tree, something that weird? You know, and you kind of freak out, you know. But I will say, wait a second, no. Because here's the good news. He's a real enemy, he's a dangerous enemy, but he's actually a defeated enemy. They said, what do you mean by that? Well, there was one person who truly defeated him. Does anyone know his name? Yes, sir.
Jesus.
Now, some of you know about Jesus. Some of you don't know about Jesus. Okay, that's right. Okay. But I will tell you this. Here is a perfect human who is the God-man who destroyed the devil. Now, this is... He gave the devil like a death blow, okay? In other words, it's like the Bible even describes it in prophecy, like it's the seed of the woman who crushed the head of the serpent. It's like he smashed the head of the serpent. Well, the truth is it would bruise his heel, but it would actually bruise and destroy it since the devil had the devil's power. Now, the devil still is active. Now, he's not all omnipresent like God. God can be everywhere at all times, which is amazing, but the devil can't be that way. And the truth is the devil and Jesus, there really is no comparison at all. Now, for you, comparison to the devil, we should freak out. I mean, on our own, I could never do it. Now, remember I'm saying that God gives me strength to actually fight the devil. I could never do this. You could never do it on your own. But the truth is, through Jesus, you actually could. And the Bible describes he was defeated, and yet we'll learn about this even more this week. But here's what's so cool about this passage. If you look at it closely, because it says in 1 Peter 5, it tells you how to do it. Now, in one sense, I would say this. How do you keep from being the devil's prey? And this is how we conclude. Okay, we go fast. Are we ready? Write this down. Okay, how do you keep from being the devil's prey? Well, first of all, is that you're humble. What do you mean? Well, if you look at this closely, the Bible actually tells us in verse 5, it says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. That's the older. Yes, all of you should be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God pours out his goodness and kindness to humble people, but the proud people, he resists them. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him. Why? For He cares for you. Whoa, wait a second. Think about this. Does a proud person trust and cast their care on the Lord? Do proud people do that?
No.
You know, proud people are like, I got this. Maybe later, if I really need His help, maybe. I might cry out to God for help, you know? But I got this. No, a humble person is saying, I can't do this at all. God, I need your help. I'm looking to you because only you can do this. And you can do it through me. Please, God, I need you. And when I think about this, you know what? I think about preaching to you guys. Actually, this week is so amazing. I get the opportunity to do this. But the truth is, you could sit here and you could be going, sure we get this thing over because I got this. You know, it's amazing. You can sit in here and not really pay attention. You kind of mess around, do your own thing. And God resists you. Then He gives grace to the humble. So the humble person says, man, I need to learn. God, teach me. Help me. And when I think about this, just humble. It tells you, yes, be humble. But then it tells you, also to be serious, because it says be sober. It's like, okay, so be sober and vigilant. Well, to be sober, this means to be serious. Get serious. This isn't a joke. Okay, camp is fun. It is. But there's a side of camp, too, where it's so serious. We're going, hey, guys, we're looking at the Bible. Let's learn. Let's grow. You're not a little kid anymore. You're not a little baby. You're like little babies, and they're like, that's not you. That might be your little brother or sister, but it's not you. And I'm saying, guys, get serious about your spiritual life. You know, there are kids your age that get real serious about God. And it's amazing what God does in their life. Some of you need to get serious. And be alert. Be sober. Be vigilant. That means to be alert. I mean to be ready. Okay, so if you knew the devil like a roaring lion comes after you, if you knew that he has tactics, and you knew, what would you do? You would be ready. Now, some of you might not know this, and some of you follow sports, maybe you don't, but something that's going on right now is in our world in sports is called the NBA playoffs, okay? Do any of you like to watch basketball? Okay, I know JT does, so I know you're here. Okay, so anyway. Basketball is kind of cool. At this level, if you get to the point where you're in this high-level tournament, do you think they do any study on the other team that they're playing? You think they have to sit down and watch videos of these guys are going to guard, they're going to watch, and they're going to play? Yes, they do. They do watch, and they kind of figure out, well, what is he? Oh, that guy always seems to go this way and do this. Oh, I know his moves. Okay, yeah. Because if you can study the other, if you can study up like the enemy, and you know the enemy, you know their tactics, you're like, oh, okay, we know how to stop LeBron James. Okay, he's not even winning anymore. But you know what I'm saying? It's like we know this because we study this, and that's the whole point. God tells you the tactics of the devil. So when you're alert to it, you go, that's a tactic of the devil. I'm not going that way. It's amazing. You're serious. You're alert. And there's one last thing, which is so cool to finish off with, is that you would be strong in your faith. Okay, now I'm concluding with this because I want you to see this. In the scripture, as he tells you to be sober, be vigilant because you're adversary of the devil, he walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And then the Bible tells you to resist him. And notice what it says, resist him in verse 8. Okay, verse 9. Verse 9 says this. Resist him, how? By being steadfast in the faith. What does that mean? It means to be strong in your faith. Now, here we go. Picture. You know who this is? It's just dads. It's a dad and his kids. And the truth is, when you think about being strong in your faith, I think about how God would make you strong in your faith and help you to grow. And the truth is, you know what's amazing? When you really know God well and you get strong in your faith, You don't fall to the tactics of the devil. This week, we get an opportunity to learn and grow and get stronger in faith. Now, wait a second. When you're strong in faith, there's nothing to worry about because you can trust the Lord. Now, I put it this way. Okay, during the year, while you guys are in school, Pastor Jeremy travels, and I preach to churches all over the country and even out of the country. And every week, I'm in a different place. Every church auditorium is different. I mean, some of you go to certain churches, and it's different than the other one. And sometimes the lights in the auditorium, well, they're in different spots. Sometimes you walk in, they're right there. You know, okay, right here. But sometimes they're buttons. You know, you hit a button, it's like, everything turns on, different kind of buttons do different things, you know? And sometimes you go there, and you're like, and there's nothing on the wall. You're like, where is the lights, okay? And being in different churches, sometimes we have our stuff, we're kind of in the front row, and our team does stuff, our family does music, and I'm preaching and stuff like this. Well, eventually everyone's out, and we're in the back, we're talking to people, till eventually it gets dark. And then, you know, people are leaving, and we're the last people. And I like to talk to people. And so we're kind of the last. And I remember at one point being in a church lobby, and I hear this. My kids say, hey, dad. See, what happened was when JT was really little, he realized that they'd left stuff in the front, and he looked in there, and it was all dark. And he looks through there, and he's like, he's too scared. So he's got a younger brother. His name's Corey. Hey, Corey. Hey, go down the front row. We'll get our stuff off the front row. That's one of those tricks of an older brother, you know what I mean? And so Corey looks in there and he's like, it's too dark. I'm not going in there. He's like, I'm not going in there. He's like, yeah, they're both looking. He's little. And then they go to the next one down. Jaden. That's the next one. You know? Hey, Jaden, go in there. Jaden, like, looks down there and he's just real long. He's like, he's not doing it either, okay? And so then they go, you know, they could say, hey, you know, Zachary. But Zachary at that time would only been like 1 year old. And the truth is, Zachary would have probably walked in and probably gotten lost. You know, he wouldn't care. He just kind of didn't care. But he wouldn't be helpful at all. So the truth is, at that point, they said, hey, Dad. And they got my attention. They said, Dad, can you go up front and get all of our stuff? I said, guys, I know it's dark, but don't be a bunch of weenies. You can do it. You're tough. Get in there. And they're like, no, come on, man. Come on. Please, Dad. You know, that like, okay. And so I start walking down the, it's in the dark, I'm making my way down, I'm walking, as I'm walking, I could hear, so like, you know, almost like footsteps behind me, and I look behind me, and sure enough, there are my kids that follow me down the aisle, and it's a big one. And I'm looking, and I think that's, and I'm laughing too, like, you guys are like, and I'm like, wait a second, just a minute ago, you guys were a bunch of weenies, and now you're like warriors. What in the world happened to you? Well, the truth is, they were with Dad. Because they're with Dad, they feel like, oh, okay. When I think about this, I think about my little daughter, Kalea. Big crowds of people sometimes will happen. We're walking on a sidewalk or something. And all of a sudden, I feel this little hand go right into my hand. And as it does, it grabs a hold of my hand. I'm like, you know, and it's Kalea, my daughter. And my aunt Kalea looks at me and she's like, you know, hold my hand. And she feels safe now. She walks with the dad. When you know the Lord well and you walk with Him closely, there's nothing to fear. I don't have to fear because He's with me. Boys and girls, this is my prayer for you this week, that you actually would understand these things of the Scriptures and you get to be strong in your faith and grow in your spiritual life. You know what? It's amazing what God can do. So I hope that this week you will say, Pastor Jeremy, I want to have a humble heart. I want to learn and grow. I'll see God do some great things in my life. That's my prayer for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for these boys and girls. I thank you for the staff. And I pray, God, will you please work in our hearts? Will you use this week to help us that we know for sure that we can never defeat the devil, but that we would trust in you. We would grow in our spiritual life, and we would get strong in our faith. God, will you please use the preaching of the word this week to change us, to make us more like you. Boys and girls, even with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around, I wonder how many boys and girls would say this, Pastor Jeremy, I want God to work in my life this week. I really do. and you would just raise your hand and say, Pastor Jeremy, that's what I want God to do, and I'll pray for you this week. As you raise your hand and say, Pastor Jeremy, I would want God to really work in my heart this week. That's my prayer, and that's my desire, and that's what yours is too. Yours, but I raise your hand and say, Pastor Jeremy, pray for me about that, because I want to do that. Okay? It's a dream. It's in. Lord, again, we thank you for what you're going to do. Bless the rest of our night tonight, and bless tomorrow, the next day, as we continue to have these chapels. Lord, use it for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, thank you so much. You did awesome. Okay. So,
wait, no, go there.
That's Brian's got some things for you.